Settling into such a posture of keeping a lid on the insurgents while whittling them down to irrelevancy would mean that the U.S. war in Iraq was returning to its pattern of containment, albeit this time on the ground. If that happens, it is likely that future historians will come to look at the U.S. effort from 1991 on as one long war, beginning with a short ground battle, followed by 12 years of containment done largely from the air, then another short ground fight in 2003, followed by another decade or so of containment, this time on the ground and inside Iraq. No one expects the insurgency to disappear, but the hope would be to keep a lid on it, limiting its reach and intensity. The doubt that hangs over even this most optimistic of scenarios is the duration of American popular support for maintaining a significant military presence for years to come. The question will become increasingly pointed with the passage of time, because as long as American soldiers are in Iraq, some are likely to die violently. The aim would be to reduce U.S. losses from 2 or 3 a day to that number a week, and eventually to that number a month, on the calculation that the American people would stand for such a rate of casualties. It is equally possible that while the U.S. military makes improvements in its tactics and in the quality of Iraqi security forces, the political clock will run out on the effort there, either domestically or in Iraq itself, and that the U.S. will retreat before the job is done. Even if the U.S. military is able to turn most security functions over to Iraqi forces, that is unlikely to end the fighting. Because the Sunnis aren't reconciled to being a minority in a democracy, said Bing West, the Shiite-dominated Iraqi security forces essentially are going to have to conduct their own occupation of the Sunni triangle for years to come. Thus, any U.S. withdrawal would almost certainly lead to far more violence. The closest analogy to the U.S. experience in Iraq may be the French in Algeria. There are, of course, many differences. France was a colonial power. It had 1 million citizens residing in Algeria, and its military was reeling from a stinging defeat in Vietnam. Also, the French had been in Algeria for over a century and had a much better feel for its Arab and Berber cultures. The biggest difference is that a sovereign Iraqi government able to stand on its own would represent a victory for the United States, while an independent Algeria was a defeat for France. Yet there are also some striking similarities. Most notably, in both wars, a Western power found itself enmeshed in an Arab land, fighting a primarily urban battle against a murky mix of nationalists and Islamicists. Algeria ended badly for the French. Their military became steadily more effective, but so notably brutal, with 3,000 prisoners supposedly murdered, that the French public was repulsed. Ultimately, parts of the French army, feeling betrayed by the nation's politicians, rebelled and even tried to assassinate President Charles de Gaulle. They won tactically on the ground, but brought down the French government by losing its moral authority. "That's not a victory," noted General Mattis, a Marine commander who has long studied the Algerian conflict in the belief that it was emblematic of the wars the United States was likely to fight. That said, France recovered smartly, and in the decades since the Algerian crisis, has enjoyed more political stability than it had for most of the 20th century.